Hey, good day, all you Tigers fans out there. You are back with H10, and I am your host, T-Ray, and with me, as always, is...
Yep, as always, is the Wizzo. I'm here.
Wizzo, it's good to have you back. By the way, it is Monday, September 21st for us. We're coming at you a day late because we wanted to finish up the Yakult Swallow series before we produce something for you. How was your week anyways, Wizzo?
It was good. I actually got to come to Tokyo here. That's where I'm at right now, live from Tokyo here. Do some training up here. The great thing was, you know, walking around the Shinkansen, walking around Tokyo with my black and white Henshin Tigers jersey on and my black and white Henshin Tigers hat. You know, and I
see, did you get a lot of looks or a lot of talks from people?
Yeah, it's like people were parting the Red Sea, kind of like Moses. You know, I was Moses, and everybody's just getting out of my way, and they're all looking at me, and, you know, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a good-looking guy. I have no idea, but...
They didn't drown behind you, though, like they did with Moses, right?
No, nothing like that happened. Everybody lived, but it was really cool to just, you know, everybody did look, you know, because this is enemy territory, as I said, on my Facebook, so it's kind of cool, you know, just to... You know, come here to Tokyo, hang out for a week, do some training, and then, you know, enjoy the time, you know.
So, you're not going to be going to either of the Giants games this week, are you?
No, I'm not, because I remember that last Giants game, and no, I don't, you know, because my family's going to eventually join me, and we're going to go to Disneyland, so that X'd out the games. So.
Well, that's the happiest place in the world, and Tokyo Dome for Hanshin fans definitely is not the happiest place in the world, so good choice, buddy.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll enjoy it, but I heard you went to Yokohama, so I want to hear all about that. Tell some of us that.
Yeah, that's right. I was in Yokohama over the long weekend. My wife's cousin got married, and so I made the trip down, and coincidentally, the Tigers were in town, so I caught one of those two games, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But an interesting thing happened the day of the wedding. It was actually the evening of the wedding. Have you seen Rush Hour 2, I believe it was, where Jackie Chan and Chris... What's his name?
Tucker.
Chris Tucker, thank you. They went to like a Chinese restaurant and they like busted in. They had to go into the back and it was like a secret entrance and they had to go down a hallway and up an elevator that had like a special code and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember that, but I got to do that because we were in Chinatown in Yokohama and we went into this restaurant and we were celebrating, you know, the cousin's wedding and all that stuff with all the relatives. So we went into the restaurant and I thought we were just going to be seated, but we got led through the back down a hallway, which was like concrete on both sides, so it wasn't like part of the restaurant, and to a special elevator that needed a special key to get us up to where we needed to be. And I thought, man, are we going to be dining with gangsters or what? But it just felt really surreal. It felt like I was in a Jackie Chan movie for a second there. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah, and you get up to the door, right, and you open it up, and there's Iwata standing right there in front of you.
Better him than Chris Tucker getting beat up by all the Chinese gangsters, right? Yeah. Anyways, folks, we're going to move on to the show now. We will talk about the week that was in the Hanshin Tigers schedule, and we're going to choose our player of the week. We're going to do What a Disaster, as we always do. And then we're going to talk about the foreigners on the Hanshin Tigers and what we think is going to happen or what should happen with all of them next season. And finally, we'll wrap things up with our predictions on what's going to happen on this 6-game road trip this week. So stick around. We'll be back in just a sec. All right, Wizzo. So this week was a bit of a weird week for the Tigers. We had one home game on Tuesday. Then we had 2 days off, and then we went 2 on the road in Yokohama, and then we were back for 2 at Koshien against the Swallows. So I got to take in 2 of the games again this week, so 2 weeks in a row of watching 2 games live. I saw the first one of the week, thanks to you, scoring me the tickets. Appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. Thank my mother.
And so. Yeah, well, thanks to your mother-in-law, definitely, and I'm glad I got to talk to her and say thanks in person. So they hosted the Dragons, and as most of us know, the Tigers have really enjoyed feasting on dragon meat this year. And it was really no different this time around. Fujinami took to the mound, and he went 8 strong, did not allow a single run during his time up. He did allow several hits, only, I think, 2 walks on the night, but he just remained calm the whole time, and there was never even a sense of danger that he was going to, you know, allow any runs or that the floodgates were going to break open. It just felt like he was always in control, even the one time that the bases were loaded. So Fujinami did a great job, and in the second inning, Gomez hit a grounder that somehow found its way past the shortstop. It just kind of went under Hernandez's glove. And the next guy up was your friend, Mr. Ryota Arai, and he smoked a pitch over the, I believe it was left center wall. So 2-0 lead for the Tigers, and it remained 2-0 all the way through until the 8th inning when Yamato got on base, and then I think it was on a pass ball or a, it might have been a pickoff attempt gone wrong. Yamato advanced all the way to third base, and then Matt Merton hit him in on a sacrifice fly. We got a 3rd insurance run, and your other boy, Sung-Hwan Oh, came in and shut the door in the 9th. 3-0 final in that one. It was a great game. I loved watching it. It was a lot of fun. You know, after going to see a couple of losses last week, of course, it was nice to go in and see a win. So, and it was a good start for the week, and it was a good way to kind of calm a lot of the frantic Tigers fans who sat through a 4-game winless streak to end last week.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get the chance to watch Fujinami, it's got to be a great feeling. This guy, and I've said this over and over again on the podcast here, is, man, this kid is freaking awesome. This kid is amazing. He doesn't lose his cool, and I think that's what's really important for a pitcher, is not to go out there and lose their cool. Bases loaded, okay. You know, he goes out there and does his thing and eventually gets out of those jams. It's always great to see Fujinami pitching well, and it was even better to see Arai hit that 2-run homer, you know, and actually somebody on the page wanted to bash him that day, and I was like, hey, this guy's going to break through. He's going to break through for us, and he did. So, you know, kind of got me excited for a little bit there.
So the team got 2 days off, and it was a good chance to kind of recharge the batteries a little bit before they headed out to Yokohama. And I know the talk around town was definitely the Tigers need to win these 2 games. And we've had a good time against Yokohama this year as well, against the Bay Stars. So we went in with Messenger on the mound on Friday night. And I got to see this game kind of from my hotel room window, because I was on the 12th floor of our hotel, which is right across from Yokohama Stadium. But I could only see left field and shortstop and third base and a part of the pitcher's mound. So I didn't get to see action fully. But Messenger was on the mound for us. And we got a run early on, and it was kind of the typical Toritani walk, Yamato bunt, and then Fukudome RBI. So that was nice to get a 1-0 lead for Messenger, and I thought, great, they're finally going to score him some runs. But unfortunately, that was pretty much all they got for Messenger in the game. Because what happened was Messenger ended up going 6 innings, allowing no hits until the 5th. He had allowed 3 walks, and then in the 5th, he allowed a few hits, but he didn't allow a run. In the 6th, he allowed a couple of doubles and a sacrifice fly. He also had a wild pitch in between that, which allowed the runner to go over to third, which allowed for the sacrifice fly. So he gave up 2 runs in the 6th, and then in the top of the 7th, the Tigers had a huge chance, and so they pulled Messenger in that situation, and I remember being beyond frustrated, because they had the bases loaded and Sekimoto came up and knocked a guy in to tie the game. So it was like, okay, Messenger's not going to get the loss here, presumably. And with 1 out and the bases loaded, they pulled Fuji, which isn't a bad move, and they brought in Hayata Ito, and he struck out. So now there's 2 outs and bases loaded, and they pulled Messenger, which, okay, he had 110 pitches at that point, and maybe it was time, you know, in this big chance. But they brought in Saka, of all pinch hitters, and he struck out. So the game was tied 2-2. Messenger with no decision. And now we've got 3 innings, hoping that the relievers will hang on. They only needed to go 2 innings because the bottom of the 9th wasn't played. Because in the bottom of the 8th, our guy Fukuhara allowed a double and then threw a wild pitch that Tsuruoka could not for the life of himself get in front of. And then when he went to try and grab it, do you remember this? He went to try and retrieve the ball and he stumbled and fell. And by that time, the runner that was on second came all the way around and scored. And that was the game-winning run. What a disgrace.
How could you be a catcher and not be able to run back to the plate or even, you know, I don't know. You know, it doesn't surprise me. It's a sad ending. You know, the good thing I guess I can look at is Messenger didn't get the loss. You know, he always goes out there and does his thing. You know, we always talk about lack of run support. You know, wow, here we go again with one run. You know, no surprise there, right? So, yeah, it's, you know, these games, they should have won that one. Should have. Nothing you can do now.
Yeah, and speaking of should have won, the next game was another one that I was able to take in Yokohama on Saturday, and we brought Nomi to the mound. It was a beautiful day, man, and it started off beautifully for the Tigers. Toritani hit the second pitch that he saw over the right field wall, 1-0 lead. And the Tigers ended up actually getting a chance to score more runs in the first inning. Yamato walked right after that, so their pitcher was looking really shaky. And then Mr. Double Play, Matt Merton, came up and unfortunately put two outs on the board for us. But Fukudome came up after that and got a hit. Gomez hit a double, so we have runners on second and third. Imanari, it wasn't his day. He hit into a grounder, grounded out to second, end of the threat. So it was 1-0 after one. The Bay Stars got that one back in the second, the 1-1. Then the Tigers got two in the top of the third. Again, this time Merton hit an RBI double and Gomez hit an RBI single. But in the bottom of the third, Nomi kind of fell apart, allowed a three-run blast to their slugger Tsutsugo. And then in the fourth, he allowed another run. So all of a sudden, we're down 5-3. We went from being up 3-1 to being down 5-3. Nomi got pulled after four innings, which is terrible after he'd gotten a decent amount of rest, I think, since his last start. But, man, the only thing that could be said in his defense is that one of the runs was unearned because of a Toritani error. And I was just saying, just before it happened, to my buddy next to me, I said, you know what? When Imanari fields the ball, even when he makes a sweet, slick play, his throws are right on the money to first. But Toritani, when he makes the sweet plays in the field, his throws tend to be erratic. And that's what happened in the third inning. He committed an error and Nomi got charged a run that he wouldn't have otherwise been charged for. But after that 5-3 lead, it just kind of went tic-tac-toe the rest of the way. The Tigers got one in the fifth. Bay Stars got one in the sixth. Tigers got one in the seventh. Bay Stars got one in the eighth. And the score ended up being 7-5. We never pulled even or took a lead after that. The bright side was that Gomez hit a home run in this game, and it was his first home run in over a month, so it was nice to see him finally find his stroke, but it was in a losing cause, so 7-5 loss. Did you happen to catch that game, Wizzo?
No, I was sitting there trying to think, what was I doing on Saturday? And no, I was not able. Oh, I know what I was doing. I had no chance at all because this was a day game, right?
Yep.
Okay, and so I was thinking this was a night game, so by the time I got home and realized that it was already over, so kind of glad I didn't see Nomi get beat up like he did, you know, but hey, you know, the highlight, Gomez, finally, you know, being able to keep his eye on the ball and, you know, keep his, you know, head focused to where it should be and jacking one out of the park, man, that's great.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so, okay, the Tigers lost 2 in Yokohama, which was just terrible. And again, you know, fans were lamenting the Tigers' chances now of winning the pennant. And we went back home and we're facing the Swallows for 2. And it was like, oh no, we're doomed. We faced Yamanaka, whom we hadn't beaten until this point. But man, did we beat him good on Saturday. Again, Gomez hit a home run in the first inning this time. It was a two-run shot. It was preceded by a Fukudome RBI. And then in the second inning, we got another two runs off a sacrifice fly by Toritani and an RBI single by Imanari, so it was 5-0. And Yamanaka didn't make it through the second inning, which is kind of nice to get into their relievers that early. But the party continued for the Tigers because in the fifth inning, we got another run on a Fukudome double again. And then in the eighth inning, we got two more runs on a Toritani single and an Imanari single. 8 runs for the Tigers against the Swallows versus 1 for the Swallows' potent lineup that really did not do a whole lot of anything. Iwata was brilliant. The one time he allowed a run, I believe it was a bases-loaded situation, and he got out of it allowing just the one run, and it was an unearned run because of an error. But great game from Iwata. Great game from the Tigers' offense. And by the way, they switched up the batting order. They put Imanari batting second, and it seemed to work well because he went 4-for-5 in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I did catch bits and pieces of this one. Yeah, Iwata looked great. I was surprised. I was like, dude, if you don't do good in this game, you know, it's the farm for you, and I'm going to start that protest again. But when I realized it, I was like, wow, Yamanaka, I read a couple comments that we hadn't beaten him all year, and then I saw his face, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is that dude that just torments us. And to see him get knocked out after, you know, after an inning and a couple batters, that's it. That was a huge bonus. And again, Gomez coming through with, surprise, surprise, a home run, you know, 2 games in a row. So, yeah, this is definitely a great win, and it shows that Iwata still got it. He just needs to maintain his focus.
He does still have it, but, you know, he tends to fall into these little funks where when he gets a couple of guys on base, sometimes he has problems getting out of the inning, and that's his deal. But he just didn't allow base runners, which was great. So Gomez, yeah, with back-to-back home runs, let's make it back-to-back-to-back, because on Monday, today, the Tigers faced Sugiura, who had not won a single game all year. In fact, he spent most of the year injured. And he didn't get the win in this one either, but unfortunately, Fujinami came and did not have his best stuff. He kind of played the same game that he tends to play a lot these days, which is just, you know, getting a little bit too pretty with his pitches, trying too hard to find those corners or dancing around these batters instead of facing them. And he walked the bases loaded in the first inning and somehow got out of the inning alive, but only lasted 6 innings and ended up allowing 2 runs. Which I guess isn't too bad, 6 innings, 2 runs. But in his stead, actually, the Tigers ended up tying the game both times that the Swallows took the lead. In the third inning and the fourth inning, the Swallows started the top of the inning with a run, and the Tigers got one back in the bottom of the inning. The Tigers got theirs on a Matt Merton grounder in the third. He ended up going 0-for-4 on the night with another double play. And then in the fourth, Gomez hit his 3rd home run in 3 days. It was a solo shot because he led off the inning. So that was it for the Tigers. So just the 2 runs. And then in the 7th, Ando came in part because in the 6th, we had a great opportunity. Once again, bases loaded, 2 outs. And they pinch hit for Fujinami, which wasn't a bad decision because he'd already gone 120 pitches almost. However, his pinch hitter also, just like Messenger's pinch hitter on Friday, struck out. This time it was Ryota Arai, struck out on a bad pitch. And Ando came in relief in the 7th and just stank it up. He only lasted a third of an inning, allowed 3 runs, and the Tigers lost 5-2. So they split the series with the Swallows, and on the week, if we include this Monday as part of the week, they went 2-3, Wizzo. Not exactly what we were hoping for.
No, because you remember what I said last week. If you don't remember, I'll repeat myself. I said, we got to go 4-0. 4-0, or there is no hope for this team. And number one, let's see, first place team, the Swallows, right? So we're second. Yomiuri's third, and the carp, they're creeping up on us, and we blew it. We blew it. I mean, if we don't make the playoffs, then, you know, they have no one else to blame but themselves, you know. And
I'll tell you,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. We received a huge bonus on Sunday when we beat the Swallows. the dragons defeated the carp, okay? And the Baystars... Sorry, the dragons defeated the giants, and the Baystars defeated the carp. That's what it was. So the two lower bottom-feeding teams defeated two of our rivals to help us gain a game on everybody, and then we blew it on Sunday when we lost, and the giants won, and the carp won, so it just all washed away. It's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, it's irritating. You know, you have Fujinami who goes out there and does a great job pitching. And then the support we give him is, you know, little to none on this day, at least. You know, and then, like you just said, other teams are helping us. It's almost like they're saying, hey, you know what, Henshin, we're gonna give up. We're going to help you. And we're like, nah, we don't need it. And we just lose. You know, we've been through these losing streaks, but now is not the time to hit a losing streak or go... One win, one loss. We can't do that. We got to string wins together. Otherwise, we're out. That's reality.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because no team in the Central League has really taken a hold of this league. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the focus is all on the Central. I mean, you got SoftBank. Okay, SoftBank's like 300 games in front of the second place team. You know, that's fine, but everybody's looking at this entire Central League going, hey, who's actually going to want it? Who's going to take it? You know, who's going to be left out? So it's crazy. I don't remember that last year being like this. I certainly don't remember that.
Well, it wasn't for sure because the Giants ended up winning the Central League pretty early on. You know, they left no doubt. I think there was about a week and a half left in the season when they won it. But this year, it's really going to come down to the final week. I mean, there's no mathematical way that it won't, especially now with 10 games left. Anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about the player of the week. Wizzo, who you got for us?
Okay. I know a lot of people out there are like, the Gomez bandwagon. No, I'm not. Because... He's got 3 home runs in 3 games. Okay, so good for him. He's finally coming around. I'm going very simply, Imanati. Recently, you know, I praised Fukudome. You know, he's a leader. He's going to stand up. He's going to do his thing, and he continues to do so. You know, he's on base, and then he's stranded there. You know, Imanati went 4-for-5 in a game. What was it on? Friday or Saturday?
That was the Sunday game.
Sunday. Okay, I'm sorry. 4-for-5. And the guy is just lighting it up recently. You know, I said it, let's see, this is September. I might have said it at the beginning of the month. But Imanati is just tearing it up. You know, yeah, there's a couple times where he gets up there and holds the bat and doesn't do anything. And I just want to go choke him. But overall, the guy has done really well over the last, I will say, 30 days. And going 4-for-5 in an important game we needed to win, he stepped up. He made it happen. So that's my player of the week. I'm not going to jump on the Gomez bandwagon until he really turns it up next week. And then I'll go buy a shirt.
I'll hold you to it. For the record, Imanati went 6-for-14 in the week. He actually did not play in the first or second game of the week because we were facing left-handed pitchers, so Wada decided to go with Arai. But he went 0-for-5 on Saturday at the game that I was at, and that really hurt because I was wearing my Imanati that night or that day. But then, yeah, he came around with a 4-for-5 on Sunday and a 2-for-3 on Monday, so good job. And also, you know, I've seen him make some great plays in the field on Saturday. Even though he wasn't great at the plate, he was solid in the field. And just watching him, even on plays that he wasn't making, meaning like a bunt attempt where the guy missed the bunt or it went foul or a foul ball, that guy hustles in the field like nobody else. And I love seeing that. So, yeah, props to Imanati. But I'm going to hop on the Gomez bandwagon, not only because of the 3 home runs in 3 days. Obviously, that's huge. But even the day before that, he went 2-for-3 with a double, I believe, and a walk. And, on the day that he hit his first home run, pardon me, he went 2-for-4 with a walk. On the day that he hit his first home run, which was the game that I was at, I believe he went 3-for-4 And that also included a sacrifice fly. I think he had three RBI or, yeah, it was three RBI in that game. Three out of the team's five. So pretty solid. And so he's really turned things around. I mean, his batting average is back up. He's hitting the ball a lot more solidly. He has not done anything to stand out in a negative way on the field because he's not a great fielder. So I'm going to go with Mauro Gomez. Hey, welcome back. It's good to see you hitting the ball well again. And we need you in these last 10 games, Mauro. If you can continue to hit like you've been hitting this past week, there's a chance. So that's where I'm going.
Well, that's a great choice. I ain't going to deny the fact that Gomez is a very important piece of this puzzle. You know, those big three, Fukudome, Merton, Gomez, they're going to make or break us these next 10 games.
Yep, and let's hope that Merton stops hitting into so many double plays because he's leading the league with 21 and he's hit into probably at least five in the last 2 weeks, and we really need that to stop. But anyways, let's not dwell too much on the negative. If we're going to dwell on negative, why don't we move on to our next corner? What a disaster! What a disaster. So, Wizzo, let me go first because I've got mine lined up because I was at the game and what I saw on Saturday just had me shaking my head and frustrated out of my mind because, you know, there's two things that bug me about WADA, and I've talked everybody's ears off about the one, which is the bunting. So I'm going to go with the other one, which is his tendency to match up lefty versus righty when it comes to batters and lefty versus lefty when it comes to pitchers. And in theory, that's not a bad thing to do. But when that's all you do and you don't look beyond that theory, you don't look at the numbers or the history, or you don't go with your gut instinct from time to time or whatever, you know, you're going to end up with disasters. And that's what happened on Saturday. The game was still in our reach. It was, let me check here. I think it was 6-4 at, sorry, no, it was 5-4 at the time. And we're going into the seventh inning. And we were in the sixth inning, and Futagami had come up, and he struggled a little bit, allowed a couple hits and a walk, and he ended up sitting down, and they brought in Shimamoto, who had been recently called up from the farm. If you guys remember, he was the pinch runner in the 12-inning tie game against the Carp last week. Pinch running pitcher. Just a pipsqueaker guy, and I just don't have any love for Shimamoto. I don't think that he's refined his stuff. He doesn't have anything to overpower anyone. And what happened was Shimamoto went 2 1/3 innings, did not actually have any earned runs against him. However, he ended up walking two guys, and he walked home a run. The run actually went against Futagami, but it was all Shimamoto. And his 2/3 of an inning included one out, which came on a hit where Ito threw out the runner at home. So in fact, Shimamoto only got one guy out on his own strength, and he just looked terrible up there. And I'm just tired of all this lefty versus lefty, righty versus righty nonsense. So that's my disaster of the week. You got anything for us, Wizzo?
My WADA disaster. I don't really necessarily have a WADA disaster. What irritates me is that he keeps playing Merton. I'm sorry. I'm going to, as an American, I'm going to bash my fellow American. To me, Merton don't care. I'm going to say it. And a lot of people won't agree with me. You know, I watched the game and it was Saturday, maybe. It was when Messenger pitched. And I'm just looking at this guy. Friday. And I'm looking at this guy like, this dude does not care. I'm just, as a spectator, as a fan, I like Merton. He's, like I said, he's an American. I'm going to support the fellow American overseas. And I'm just like, if I can see that he just doesn't look like he is there, then other coaches have to see that. They showed one, I don't know, for about 10 seconds or so, where a guy, a coach, and I had mentioned this to you, and I think you said his last name was O'Malley. You know, he's kind of talking to Merton, mm-hmm. and Merton just like, you know, doesn't really show the care. And I'm just like, okay, I'm a person, like, if you show no interest, I'm going to be like, okay, well, if you don't care, then, you know, I'm moving on. See you later. But it just irritates me that he has to, there has to be something there that people see that they're just ignoring. And me, I'd bench Merton, be like, look, man, there's something up. You're killing us with these double plays. Mentally, whatever the case may be, to me, it's bothering me. It's just like, bench this guy, give him a dose of reality, and just lose him for a couple games. I don't know, but my disaster is that he should have been benched instead of continuing to play and continuing to hit into double plays. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not really liking Matt Merton right now. I love him as a guy, don't get me wrong, but as a player, I'm just not feeling happy with this guy's performance just recently, just his body language. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. And let me just play a little devil's advocate, but also side with you a little bit as well. Heading into the weekend before the Swallows series, Merton was actually leading the team in RBIs in September with 8, followed by Fukudome and Gomez with 6 each. But so he was pulling his weight as far as bringing guys home goes. However, like I mentioned, yeah, a lot of hitting into double plays, and particularly last week in the Carp series, he just looked out of sorts. And you know, he really has been lost at the plate. He was only batting 200 on the month heading into the Swallows series. And up until this point in his career in Japan, he's always hit over 300 in the month of September. So something is going wrong. Whether it's that he doesn't care or whether it's something else, I'm not really sure. Whether he deserves to be benched or not, I'm not so sure. I would tend to disagree with you. I would probably shuffle him down lower in the order where double plays are less likely to happen. Maybe hit him 7th or something like that. But I don't think that benching him is necessarily the best move. But all right, you know, you've got your opinion and I've got mine, so that's cool, whatever. But speaking of which, Wizzo, you know, the foreigners all usually come to the team with a 1-year contract. And actually, this year, the contracts for every foreigner except, I think, Messenger kind of expire. I know the guys on the farm, Perez and Santiago, are just signed up for this year. Merton signed a 1-year deal last offseason. I think Messenger's got a year left on his. Gomez's contract leaves the club with an option on 2016, and O is in the second year of his 2-year deal, so his expires at the end of this year as well. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what the team should do with the imports moving forward. So let's keep in mind that we can only keep 4 on the active first squad roster. And we can keep as many as we want on the farm. However, most imports aren't going to be happy staying on the farm all season. And I think when Santiago and Perez signed up with the team this year, I think they were kind of assuming, like, if we can kick some butt down on the farm in 2015, we might get our chance in 2016. Otherwise, I'm not sure they would have signed. But let's start up at the top. We know that Messenger's going to be back next year. I believe, anyways. I'm pretty sure he's got 1 year left on his contract. So we don't really need to discuss him, but I welcome him back. I mean, he's been the backbone of this pitching staff for several years now, and I can't imagine the Tigers not wanting him back in 2016. What do you think?
I pray to God that that guy comes back. I mean, his presence alone, the way he pitches, you know, earlier he went down to the farm, he came back completely different and hasn't, you know, hasn't looked back. So yeah, I really hope Messenger is back next year. I really hope And if he's listening, if anybody messenger related is listening, convince this guy to come back next year. It's definitely somebody we're going to need in the pitching rotation.
Yeah, if any messenger is out there, yeah, please listen. Just to go over some numbers with Randy, since coming back from the farm, and I'm not going to include his last outing in May because it makes the math a little bit hard. His ERA in June was 0.87. July was 1.29. August was 4.06. He had that one really rough outing against the Giants, and I think that kind of ruined it. And September so far is 1.8. So, you know, 3 out of 4 months under 2. Incredible. So we definitely need him back for sure. But, okay, let's move on. Let's move on to Merton, who's next on the list, because he's been with the team now for 6 seasons. And, as I said, his contract is up, and he made about $4.5 million this year. That's U.S. dollars, by the way. So, in my opinion, it comes down to two things. Either he takes a huge pay cut and stays with the team, or he leaves. Which one is preferable to you, and which one do you think is probable?
I say I prefer him taking a pay cut, but probably he'll be gone. That's like a gut feeling, man. I said it before. Merton is like the face of Henshin. I mean, you know, I read his article from when he had the most hits in 1 year. And I've seen YouTube videos of Matt Merton being interviewed. And I'm like, damn, I hope we don't lose this guy. Because he's a good, you could tell he's a good person. He cares about baseball. He obviously loves the city of Osaka. He loves the Henshin Tigers. You know, maybe this year he's just burnt out and tired. I have no clue. I'd like to see him come back. I don't know. Maybe he needs a break. I'm not sure, but it would be cool to have him back. I don't think he will be back. That's kind of a gut feeling. And if he does come back, it's for less money.
I can't help but think that he might be fighting for a roster spot if he does come back, that it won't be guaranteed that he's going to play every day in left field. And the team might make that clear to him. And if they do, he might say, okay, well, then I'm not coming back. But, you know what, with their signing Perez back in June, it was almost kind of a threat to Merton in a way, because Perez is a left fielder and Merton was definitely struggling and there was no secrets about why they were signing Perez. Now, whether or not they're going to drop Perez into left field immediately and say, you know, they're going to cut their ties with Matt, I'm not really sure. But I'm with you. I kind of feel like he might be gone after this year, and I think it's unfortunate. Obviously, Toritani has been with the team longer than Merton, but as far as the rest of the fielders go, there's nobody that's been there as long as Matt Merton and played regularly for as long as Matt Merton has. You know, you look at every other position, there's nobody that's been around as long as Matt. So he's a huge part of the team, and, you know, he reached the 1,000-hit barrier in his 6th season in NPB, which is faster than anybody else in the history of Japanese baseball. Now, that's as far as number of seasons, but number of games, I think he's 5th fastest to reach 1,000 hits. But either way, he's a hitting machine, and, I mean, this is a team that struggles to find hits. So if you're going to cut ties with Matt Merton, man, you better find a way to replace those hits, because, you know, you take 1,000 hits away from the team in the past 6 years and you've got the most anemic offense in the history of the game. At least I would guess so.
Wow, that's a good way of putting it. I mean, that's reality. Yeah, if you're going to replace him, it better be with somebody good. And I mean, I don't know how many hits this Perez guy got anywhere else he's played outside of Japan, but if it doesn't equate 1,000, well, take that number into consideration for something.
Well, Perez is significantly younger than Matt. Merton will be 34 in about a week. And Perez, I think, is 27. He'll be 28 this offseason. So, I mean, if he does come back, at least he's got youth in his favor and maybe the potential to grow as a hitter and grow as a player a little bit more than somebody who's 34. You know, I'm not knocking Matt Merton, because from what I hear, he's one of the hardest working players in the game. So, I'm definitely not saying that, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do as far as that goes. Okay, let's move on to our next two guys. Both of them started with the Tigers in 2014. We'll start with Mauro Gomez since we're on this hitters, we're in the hitter zone right now. Gomez joined the team in 2014 and led the Central League with 109 RBIs last year and hit 26 home runs and really was the heart of the order. Now this year, obviously, he's struggled a little bit more than last year. You know, he's got, I think now he has 17 home runs on the year. So, I mean, if he finishes strong, he'll break the 20 barrier, but he's not going to match his 26 unless he hits a home run a game the rest of the way. Then he'll reach 27. But I don't see that happening. And as far as his RBIs go, I think he's first on the team now. He might have surpassed Fukudome. He's got 71. So does Fukudome. So he's probably on pace to hit about 77 or 78 RBIs this year, which is significantly lower than last year. And as everybody knows, and we talked about this last week, you know, he really hit the wall from mid-August until mid-September. So if we bring Gomez back in 2016, are we going to get the Gomez who strikes out like it's going out of style? Or are we going to get the guy that hits a home run in a game? It's kind of hard to say. What do you think? Do you want him back in 2016? And do you think the club will exercise their option on him?
If he strikes out 124 times next year, no. I mean, that's the 124 times he's struck out so far. It's an insane number, especially when you get two other people, put them together, and you haven't reached 124 yet. You know, bring him back for less money. I mean, maybe this whole Perez talk, maybe Gomez kind of looked himself in the mirror and said, oh, wait a minute, hold up. Is Perez going to replace me at first base? You know, maybe he started thinking that, hey, we're not bringing Perez in to replace Merton. This guy might be replacing me. And so, you know, he might have woken up and said, hey, this is one of those, okay, I got to straighten myself out here. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. And, you know, now look, you know, since the report came out, three straight games with a home run. So I don't know. It could go either way, but if I'd offer him less money. That's it. And say, hey, take it or leave it. You know, if you don't want to come back, then, you know, see you later. Thank you for all your services. That's about all you can do.
All right, fair enough. For the record, last year, Gomez struck out 166 times, and nobody complained about it, or not many complained about it, because of the 109 RBIs that came along with it. So I would take 109 RBIs and 166 strikeouts from Gomez every season if we could, but my gut instinct on Gomez is other teams' pitchers have figured him out. I think that's causing the crazy amount of strikeouts. He's not hitting the ball for as much power as he did last season. Even this year, it took him a while to get his engine going. I mean, he didn't hit a lot of home runs at the start of the year either. And I would not be sad to see him leave, sorry to say. So I honestly think, especially looking at other teams, foreigners, you know, there is a potential to get a 30 home run guy in here, I think. And I would love to see a 30 home run guy on the Tigers again. And I know that Randy Bass, the legend, has said, you know, if Gomez can learn to hit the ball to right field, he has the potential to hit 40 home runs. And it may be true, but he's maybe going to hit 20 this year, which is not great. So I know the game's changed since Bass was around and he was hitting 54 home runs and 47 home runs and so on. But I really would love to see a little bit more of a powerhouse foreigner. I mean, if you're going to hire a foreigner, you know, to come in and hit the long ball, I hope he hits the long ball, you know, because it just really didn't happen that much with Gomez this year. So that's my take on him. And let's move on now to our last guy that's been up with the team all along, and that is Sung Hwan Oh. Little Freudian slip there. Oh has been with the team for 2 years, and he led the Central League in saves last season, and he's leading the Central League again in saves. I believe he's got 39 on the year. His ERA has gone up quite a bit since last season, unfortunately. But what's your take on him? What do you think? Would you like to see him back? Do you think the team will bring him back?
Who else is going to close the games like he does? Now, I know he gave up 8 runs in a game. That's fine. He didn't give up 8 runs in 5 or 6 games this year. You know, so again, every closer is going to have their games where they really blow it. But he hasn't had a repeat like that since that time happened. You know, O needs to come back. I know you had posted something about the Major League Baseball in America being interested in him. Well, it's opposite. There's not much interest in him, which is great because he needs to stay here. He's right across the pond from Korea. He can go home anytime he wants. He's a good pitcher. He's not perfect. No relief pitcher out there is. And outside of him, we got Fukuhara, Ando, Matsuda, Sayuchi, Futagami. We got a couple, you know, maybe some good chances, but when it comes down to it and we need outs, O is like the most reliable right now. And so I say, bring him back again next year. You have to. And plus, I'll be here.
I'm going to disagree with you. I will disagree with you completely. I appreciate your services, Mr. O, and I appreciate all your saves, but I don't appreciate the ulcers you've given me. And I really think that we can find somebody better. Doesn't mean we're replacing O with somebody on our roster, my friend. Nobody's asking us to do that, and I don't think anybody on our roster is capable of closing out games like O. I'll agree with you on that. However, I believe that we can find another foreigner that can close games better than O. There's a lot of good Cubans out there that are looking for a club to play for. There's even some good Americans out there looking for clubs to play for. And if we look at some of the closers that other teams have, Tony Barnett of the Swallows, Dennis Sarfate of the SoftBank Hawks. I'm not talking number of saves. I'm talking look at their ERA, look at their whip, look at their number of strikeouts, look at the speed they've got on their fastball, look at the variety of pitches they have. Sung-hwan Oh is 33 years old. He's losing speed on his fastball. He doesn't really have a lot of variety of pitches. His whip has gone up significantly. His ERA has gone up significantly. His number of strikeouts has gone down a little bit. I just think it's time to say thanks for your services, but we're going to find somebody else for the future. Maybe somebody younger, maybe somebody with, you know, a stronger arm or whatever. But I just think, you know, after 33, and next year he'll be 34, you know, the older these closers get, the more they lose on their pitches, and especially when your bread and butter is your fastball, you know, you better have something else to back it up, and I just don't trust that he's got that, so I wouldn't mind seeing him leave.
Well, I guess we're going to have to wait and see. You're right, there are other people outside of, you know, I'd never looked at, you know, players in Cuba, that's for sure. I'm sure there's Americans out there that are good closers. You know, maybe they can't hack it in the Japanese league. I don't know. But, you know, we'll have to just wait and see. I want O back, obviously, because I'm an O supporter. But if he doesn't come back, oh, well. That's all I can do.
And we didn't even mention this, but, you know, there is the possibility that maybe Mario Santiago would be an adequate closer. And I haven't really looked at his numbers close enough to say one way or the other, but... you know, instead of speculating about Mario and Nelson Perez, we don't really have a lot of time. We're kind of running out of time right now, Wiz. So let's move on and talk about our predictions for the week to come, and then we'll call it a wrap because we don't want people falling asleep on us now, do we?
Oh, they won't.
I'll trust that they won't. Anyways, folks, this week we have got 6 games on tap from Tuesday through Sunday. 2 at Tokyo Dome against the Giants, 1 at Nagoya Dome against the Dragons, and then 3 at Mazda Stadium, in Hiroshima against the Carp. Wizzo, what do you think? How many out of 6 are we going to take?
2-4.
Ouch.
I'm serious.
Care to break that down a little?
I'm serious because I said 4-0, and this is the last chance that they get a 4-0 from me. because they blew it. Giants, they'll win one of those two games. I think they'll go into Nagoya. I think they'll win. And then I don't know how in the world Chunichi is stomping all over the Hiroshima Carp, but we are not. And so whenever we see Maeda, Johnson, Kuroda, we get scared, we don't do anything, and we lose the games. So I think we're going to win one in Tokyo. We're going to win one in Nagoya. We're going to go to Hiroshima, and we have to listen to this carp garbage again, and I think they're going to sweep us. And that's going to be the end of the year for us.
Well, Mr. Positive, thank you very much. Okay. Well, I'll accept your prediction, but it certainly isn't very positive. I'm going to agree with you that we're going to go 1-1 in Tokyo, and one of the reasons is, I'm sorry, my friend, Mr. Iwazaki, but I don't think you're going to be able to beat Sugano on the 22nd, and that's the matchup that we're looking at. 23rd, we've got Messenger on the mound, and I really hope he can pick up his 10th win of the year on that day. And then I actually think we're going to lose in Nagoya. I don't know who we're putting on the mound. I think we're putting Akiyama on the mound. I think I read a report about that, but I just think maybe our streak of good luck against the Dragons is going to come to an end there. But I think that we will win 2 out of 3 in Hiroshima. We did it earlier in the season. I think we'll do it again. We did it during our long road trip, and I think we'll do it again. So I'm going to guess 3-3. And it's not going to be the end of our season, but it certainly is going to make the last 4 games of the year must win, must win, must win, must win. And I'm afraid the Tigers aren't going to win the pennant, but we'll leave that for next week's show. All right, everybody, tell us what your predictions are for the week. Tell us what you think we should do with the foreign players next season. Send us an email, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. Leave us a comment on the Facebook page, Hanshin Tigers English News. Drop me a comment on Twitter, @thehanshintiger. Or find another way to reach us. We'd love to hear from you guys. It's been a great week. It's been good talking to you, Wizzo. I hope you have a wonderful week this coming week.
Oh, yeah, same to you. It's fun as always, man. It's funny as always.
All right, well, we'll catch you in 6 days. Have a good one, folks.
ありがとうって今は言わせて